So our speaker today, Jenny McHugh, will be speaking on cycles of darkness, loss, regeneration, and renewal, and resilience as an act of connection. She'll be talking about deep relationship with ourselves and the world around us, exploring resilience as a process, communing with God, Spirit, and the Great Being. And I look forward to hearing her talk and then perhaps some Q&A for a little bit afterwards.
Oh, yeah, you can leave that. Thank you. All right, I'm locking into the mic. How's that sound? Is that good? I'm tall, so I'm going to adjust it. I'm going to take a drink of water. Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me here. I kind of feel like I don't need to say anything after that story. That was really beautiful, and I often feel like so much wisdom comes out of children's literature. And I'm going to be fiddling with my glasses because I'm in that stage of wanting to see you and then needing to see what I wrote down. When I'm in the seats, I'm often crying, and I think that's a good thing. It's not so good when you're speaking, but it might happen. Thank you for inviting me here today. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Jenny. I've spoken a couple of times here on different topics. It's really nice to see your faces at the end of this week. I'm not an expert on anything, but so these are reflections, and I feel like any one of you could be up here sharing your reflections. I come to this talk as a reader, so I read from really early on, thus my love of the children's stories. So I when I was thinking about today's talk, I went back into some books and some reading that has meant something to me. I'm a therapist. I've been a therapist for about, 15 years. I went back to school after doing a lot of work with families in the community. I was a home visitor for families with babies for a long time. I worked at ECFE. Families with young children, a person who works with women in childbirth and supports them and their family during that transition. So I think one of the things that really informs my thoughts is having been present at times when life is literally coming into being and what that's like for the people who get to witness that. It's a very humbling experience. I can't read my writing. And then from a young age, I was lucky enough that my mom, who is not a super nurturing person, as I've kind of mentioned up here before, connection with the natural world and took me and my brother out backpacking and into the woods from very young. And so that's been a huge part of my sense of resilience for myself, walking alone in the woods. And so those cycles that we get when we are connected with nature are really important. So that's a little bit about me. Many of you were here last week for Paul's talk, yes, right? And remember when he said at the beginning that was going to be meandering? Do you remember that? How many of you thought it was meandering? No. How many of you thought it was kind of dense? Right? Yeah, okay. mine might be meandering. I don't know. I'm a little anxious about time, but I think my talk might be a little more meandering than his and hopefully less dense. I didn't get a chance to go back. Did anybody go back and listen again to his? But worth listening to again. It's been an unsettling week. I do not feel like I should be the one up here, but I feel like I am grateful for everyone for sharing out. I do want to start a little bit after that heaviness. I want to share a little practice that I think builds resilience as we start. So one of the things I feel like our nervous systems are maybe really unsettled this week, maybe more than they have been even in the last month or year. So one of the practices that can really build the nervous system is doing something called vooing, and it's very related to chanting or singing, and it's where you just kind of make a sound together. And as we start, this wasn't in the plan, but I'm going to invite us to do this after what we just shared with our shells in the water. So if you care to join me, I'm going to step away from the mic so I don't overwhelm you with my vooing. But vooing is just where you kind of open your throat and you just make a, if you want, join us. If not, just feel free to sit there and want. So voo. and just hold it until your air expires. Yeah. Let's do it maybe one more time. Nice, thanks. Hope that felt good. I sometimes invite people to do that in my therapy space in the clinic, and people are like, oh, not so sure. Okay. So cycles of darkness, loss, regeneration, renewal, resilience as an act of connection. Like, that sounds so pretentious as I read it now. My goodness, like, what was I thinking? I feel like I went back to, like, my college papers. I was an English major, too, so anyway, out of the realm of deep meaning and co-opted by systems of our extractive capitalistic culture. Those of us working in those systems, education, healthcare, mental health, often receive messages about building resilience that I genuinely think are meant to be helpful but fall short. They focus on personal characteristics and strategies such as practicing self-care, like getting exercise, you know, taking a break from your desk, things like that. I feel like they come out of marketing a lot of team, and she's really working hard to help us stay strong. And so we have resilience buddies, but two out of the three times we've been scheduled to meet, my resilience buddy had to cancel because she was pulled into other meetings. I just find that so ironic. And I don't think this is a way to build resilience. It feels like the goal is to get us back to work versus to heal and do what we need to do to really sustain a life. I believe the kind of resilience we need to be talking about right now is deeper than taking a walk at lunchtime. I want to talk about deep resilience, and then ironically too, like that's a cool term that popped into my head. I think it's a cool term, and I went and I was like, someone must have thought of that term before and marketed it, and sure enough, there's someone who wrote a book about deep resilience, and if you do these things, you can be stronger. So I just think like we've just marketed this so much, but deep resilience. Where do we do not feel optimistic about the future? Where do I turn when my grief about the direction my country or the planet is taking, and it is more than I can bear? Many of you know Vince, who has spoken here at UU, who was a spiritual director for many years at the Franciscan Spirituality Center in La Crosse, and who died in 2022. He was to me such a wise and engaging presence. After Vince was diagnosed with cancer, he was asked in a Spirituality Center podcast, which you can find online, which is where I heard it, and Vince said he found resilience in the death of the ego. Death of the ego, kind of echoing Paul a little bit from last week. Vince said, once you face the death of the ego, you can go on living without fear. He said, we all create an image based on societal expectations, and we want that to be maintained. And that image isn't who we are. He went on to talk about a transcendent presence of divine other that he connected with that allowed him to say, win or lose, I'll be okay. That sounds really radical this week in particular to me. Now, I myself don't believe in God per se, but I believe in something bigger than myself that I tend to call the universe. And when I can get out of my ego, when I can get it out of the way for brief moments, tools, or when I'm deeply listening to another human being, or, no, again, I can't read my writing. Oh, yeah, when I'm walking in the woods alone. I think it happens often when people service to others. And Paul spoke of the practice of meditating last week. And whether or not you believe in God or a divine spirit, my question for you today is, what unties you from your ego and allows you to commune with something beyond yourself? Lynn Rabus, have our small acts of kindness queen. Where, there you are, Barb. We were talking about random and small acts of kindness. And the impact those have on us and research shows that small acts of kindness act on another person than the people who offer them even know. So that's an example, I think. Singing together, dancing, going on an awe walk where you just really like take a walk and are open to what's going to surprise you about the magic in the world. Coming here for ritual and community, we're so much bigger than ourselves. The other thing Vince noted about resilience of Assisi, continue to hoe the garden. Now, being relatively unchurched and ignorant, I had not heard that one before. Who knew this was your last day on earth? And that is what he answered. Message from last week, this principle. Be where you are and do what you are doing. Continue to hoe the garden. And any of you gardeners out there also know that hoeing is most certainly an act of resilience because you know you will need to keep hoeing because the weeds, I can't tell if I'm talking too loud. It's good? Okay. You know you'll need to keep hoeing because the weeds will come back. Change we are working for, but we believe the work is worth the effort over the long haul, so we keep going. But here's the thing. What do we do when we just don't have the energy to hoe the garden anymore? For the past 2 years personally, I've been struggling with this. I lost touch with practices I used to rely on and am now only just feeling my way back. And in my work as a mental health therapist in a medical clinic, many of the referrals I receive relate to grief and loss, trauma and depression, the death of diagnoses, so many things. In these situations, people of faith, people with strong practices, people who are hopeful, often feel a contraction in their resilience they have come to rely on, have been moved, or ceased to exist as they have known them. And I feel like certainly we are facing the loss of guideposts as a democracy, obviously, because of our shells, and we all know that. And then with climate change and for a long time, I feel like with our planet. When there's a hole in the heart that feels so deep, it feels like the hole is the heart, we become untethered from ourselves and often from what has provided us with meaning in the past. We feel fatigue and bereft. Sometimes it's just really hard. So my question was, does this mean we're not resilient any longer? And I don't think so. Joan Cacciatone writes in an amazing book called Bearing the Unbearable, disintegration comes first, reintegration follows. Deep resilience involves cycles of loss and renewal. We know and love are in a state of contraction. We do what a good doula would do, or maybe what St. Francis would do. We show up, we listen, we hold space. We bring food if we're from Minnesota. We're there. We continue to hoe the garden. And if we're really wondering what to do, we can go back and listen to Uni's talk on grief. Deep resilience from Trisha Hershey. She names herself a performance artist, a writer, a theater maker, an activist, a theologian, a daydreamer. She says, resilience is separating worthiness from productivity. To Hershey, resilience is, and I'm quoting, an invitation to move into the wells of yourself. Move into the wells of yourself. Now, as an introvert, I really like this, and I don't have time to really dive into what this means, but that just seems really powerful to me. Hershey's sense of resilience is rooted in Black liberation scholarship and disrupting the idea that the body is a tool for labor. She invites people to active rest. Slow your body down enough to connect mind to body. She's also a really big promoter of naps. She writes, you must resist anything that does not center your divinity as a human being. You are worthy. Thank you for listening to a few thoughts on practicing deep resilience. Consider an ego death practice. Hoe the garden, hope, honor, expansion, and contraction. Move into the wells of yourself and connect your mind to your body. And all of this, of course, is so possible in the context of relationship. is much easier to find our way back to hope from despair, for example, when we have someone being the one to be the asker to ask other people. As Pete Seeger said, being generous of spirit is a wonderful way to live. Thank you.